I'm a scat man.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the 3-Dot Podcast. My name is D-Goody.
That's how he's going to introduce himself.
No.
For season 3 now, guys. Keep it consistent, bitch.
No.
It's Ryan with a silent E.
And this is Alex.
And right now, we're going to be talking about things we've learned as we grow up. Things that were taught by us. Taught to us.
By the parentals.
Yeah.
By our parents.
You know, in every great life, we also have teachers, but the greatest teachers of all, other than life itself, is parents.
Yes. And boy, oh boy, did I learn things from my parents.
Yep.
A lot of them are useful. Some of them were just like, what? What did you say?
A lot of things that they did teach you, though, is it wouldn't hit you till later.
Absolutely correct.
Where you would think that it doesn't make any sense, but you don't know what you're talking about, and then boom, life hits you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Someone, whenever they tell you, draw, like, you'll thank me later.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of lessons.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
One of the things that we're going to open this up with is about love. Obviously, that's one of the things that parents talk to about.
Yes.
It's also a weird kind of gray area. Sometimes parents like say too much. Sometimes they say too little.
Yeah.
There's an article on Psychology Today. It's about dating then and now. But back then, they are talking about how they courted. So they meet people via parties. They met people, you know, like in person.
Yes.
And now a lot of it is online. A lot of it is done through social media. And also, you know, there's ads. Back in the day, there was also ads too, newspaper ads, looking for a bride and whatnot.
Right, right.
But now it's gone into like a smaller scale and there's dating and whatnot. For you guys, what are some of the tips that your parents gave you? Probably the dumbest ones, or at least maybe some of the insightful ones. Whoever wants to go first.
Well, I just remember my parents always telling me to marry up. So
does that mean marry like into money?
Like, yes.
No. Do your parents feel like that?
Yeah. My parents, they still tell me it. They're all like, so I don't want you to marry someone that is only getting things from you. I was like, what? And I'm all like, what does that have to do with anything? So
I mean, that's...
Was that coming from mom or was that coming from dad?
That sounds like mom. Yeah, that sounds like mom. Well, for me, though, personally, I think that she has a point.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need someone who doesn't just get things from you.
Yeah, no, that's... I mean, I'm sure she means well. She pretty much, in her own way, that doesn't sound very, like, negative. But yeah. I think she's trying to convey, like, just don't marry a moocher.
She's trying to set you up for success.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, an easy route.
Just like, you know, pretty much the whole idea, don't marry a gold digger.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm all like, all right, cool. It's just
but
the way she
no
saves
gold
it.
To dig.
Not right now.
Yeah.
Not right now.
There's no gold to dig here, that's for sure.
I think to reflect and relate to what D. Udy was saying, one of my ex-girlfriends, her pockets were deep, and my mom knew. So that's something, when my mom... meets or sees a girl that I'm with or sees, you know, she looks for things. And so at the time my ex was driving a Mercedes, and then she's deep in her pockets, huh? I'm like, yeah. And she would kind of make me worry, like, well, you have to be deep in your pockets too, so you can be with that
person.
You
can keep up.
Yeah.
You can keep up.
God, mom. Mm-hmm. It just made me feel bad because at the time, my ex was not a nurse yet.
Mm-hmm.
She is now. That's what she always wanted to be. And so my mom would be like, well, you should go into doctoring too. Like,
see, that's the thing. I don't know how about in other cultures, but I know about like the
Asian
culture.
And believe me, I tried, man. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do the courses.
Yeah.
They
well,
sucked.
I don't know about in other cultures, but in Asian culture in general, like, you gotta be a lawyer, you gotta be a nurse, you gotta be a doctor.
Yeah.
You gotta be those, like, high-paying jobs. And I feel like it was, at least for me, shoved down my throat so much so where I didn't want to do it anymore.
How deep was it shoved down?
How deep? How deep?
It was pretty deep. Like,
David.
It was like...
Oh, my goodness. Okay. But they slapped you with the being a nurse. Pretty much, or being a lawyer. I never was slapped with that. It was just an option. Like my mom would just be like, "You have the option of studying as a nurse." Oh
no, not for me.
And I gave it a shot just to do it for mom, but it just was not my thing, dude.
For love with my dad was like sometimes my wingman, and also sometimes like my biggest critic. Because I remember one time there was a family party and I was 13, and my cousin, my older cousin, brought two of her homegirls over, and one was like 16, one was like 17, and my dad's like, "Alex, come over here," and I like go over there. He's like, "This is my son." I'm like, "What's going on?" He's like, "Here," and he hands me a glass of wine. He's like, "Drink with these girls," and I was like, "What?" Dang. Yeah, no. So I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Because
guy over here.
That's my dad. On the other hand, my mom, she's kind of like always off on the side. And I was telling you guys earlier before the show aired, or before we recorded, I told my mom about how I like this girl. Or, you know, I don't like her. I'm attracted to this girl.
You're infatuated.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Mom, I'm infatuated with this girl." And my mom was like, "Well, you go up to her and you ask her, 'Hello, would you like to go for a coffee?'" And I'm like, fucking mom. I love you and all, mom. I really do. Sometimes.
I feel like that's how in their head things work here. I feel like they haven't dated in so long. They've lost touch.
It is.
To how things work. Like, I really, the advice they give you.
Yeah.
It's like, it's very hit or miss. A lot of the times if it like. It's funny.
You know,
it's
nothing funny about Tinder, mom. You know,
they're all.
Oh my god, I should explain Tinder to my mom and record it. But
oh god,
that'd be hilarious.
Oh god, I don't know. Yeah, the day because.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
And you briefly spoke about this about money too. What's about money? Because I'll go for me. My dad always is like at first he was like, "Oh, are you gonna be a doctor? Or are you gonna?" And I'm like,
yeah.
He sees me drawing, and I'm like, I know I'm destined to be an artist, some way or form.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my dad's like full on supportive. I think that over time he realizes that this is like my son, and he's not gonna change.
Mm-hmm.
This is just who he is.
He's accepted who you are.
Yeah. Because right? I was applying some design gigs here and there, and I tell him, he's like, "Did you get it?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't." He's like, "Just keep trying. You know, someone's gonna want your artwork." So.
That's good.
Yeah. But I mean, at first, though, to stereotypical Asians, just like, you know.
Yeah. Well, for my mom, it's more of, you know, keep the constant reminder of pursue your dreams. But also, like, you graduate. Like, she keeps reminding me, oh, like, you graduated, you have a degree. You have to get a job with that degree. Not something entirely different.
You know what's insane, though? 75% of people who do have their degrees don't necessarily end up their careers. The
same field. Yeah.
Yeah, and I have a fucking perfect example. Like, I was hanging out with my buddy last week, and we have the same degree, and he is doing something away from his degree, and that fool's making 6 digits, so.
Amazing.
Like, yeah. That's the dream. The dream is to get those digits. No, I guess it's just to, you know.
Is it, though? Because I've
I don't know, more money, more problems.
I've collided extent, with those two like ideas, true. Though.
Yeah, I believe it.
Like, because for me, it's like, especially there's a struggle of being, this is so fucking hipster, but the struggle of being an artist is you wake up and you could either give into your dreams and go full force and do something happy but not have all the money in the world, or you can just give up on them. And then
I feel like, at least for my parents, they don't get that. They don't understand that idea that you could be happy doing something that you don't make a lot of money from.
Yeah.
They think, my parents were poor growing up. They didn't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And when they started getting comfortable, they lived here in the U.S., moved here, and they started being successful and, or at least at the time, have enough to live comfortably. And now, like, they're like, okay, this brought them stability and a family. That's where happiness stems from. And, well, now that I'm here and I do appreciate all that, like, for me, as long as, you know, people live in their cars, people tend, like, live in their tent, and you ask them, "Hey, do you like not having a home? Do you not having, like, all that?" And they're all like, "I'm the happiest person in the world. I like to travel around the world. I meet wonderful people." And they're probably one of the most happiest people in the world. Like, if you compare them to, like, the average. Mm-hmm. They would tell you, they're all like, I'm just in nature. They smell. They smell. They probably have to do odd jobs just to get by. Mm-hmm. But they're probably happy. And yeah. if you watch like Dirty Jobs, things like that, like if you there was an interview with Mike Rowe that I saw. He asked them, is like, hey, and everyone, almost everyone he asked, do you like what you're doing? Like, do you like picking up pig slop? And do you like cleaning up after cows? Mm. They're all like, I'm happy. And I'm all like, okay. And then he did that to people in office jobs. They are the most miserable people in the world.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, though, Dave. If I told my mom I was picking up after cows, she would not like that.
She would rather
have me in the fucking office, man.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Making the fucking money. Because the way that my and I was raised by my mom and my mom alone, is that she wants to make sure that my future is set, that I'm able to get my own house, that I'm able to pay my bills on time, that I don't have to rely on her. But she, you know, she has told me like she will be there if I need her.
That's a parent should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit,
well,
dude.
Some parents they just
yeah
yeah
yeah.
But at least you guys, for your parents, this is something that I want to touch on. You guys, like, your parents support what you guys do. My parents, well, I wouldn't say they didn't support it. They just constantly kept drilling in my head. They're all like, hey.
I get you. Because I'll tell you this much. My mom, like, when I come home and she'll ask me how was work, she knows mm-hmm. the answer. And it's going to be, it's okay. Because she knows that I don't want to be there. And I want to be somewhere where I should be using my degree. That's her check-in.
But I feel like...
And then she comes with the encouraging words right after.
I feel like with work, unless it is your optimal dream job that's, for most part, impossible to get, like, you're never going to be happy.
I think you're almost halfway there, being the shortest stripper alive in over at Dale's, Castro.
He's both Chip and Dale.
Shut the fuck up, man.
It's Chip and... It's spelled Chip and Dale, like the squirrels, not like Chippendales. The Australian intro. That's his thing.
Actually, Dave, you know,
you guys are the worst, man. You guys are the worst.
If you were a stripper, you'd be making a lot of money, though. You'd probably be.
Yeah, you would, dude.
No, I would not. And why would I be a stripper?
And now he's thinking about it, guys.
Why would
you? Hell nah.
Folks, if you are listening right now, this is a disclaimer. Y'all know about Dave's butt.
It's protruding.
Yeah.
They don't call him D. Goody for that booty for nothing.
Shut up.
Okay, so from money, from love to money, to both of those things end up being success for us in our parents' eyes. Like, if we're able to captivate, you know, the love part, if we're able to captivate the money part. Is that
for my parents? Success. It's
what is success to
a lot of at? A lot of my parents. Everything they've taught me, what they view me that what I should be is, if I have the money and I can live comfortably, everything will fall into place. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like. If you live comfortably, I can find the right woman because I don't have to worry about anything else.
Yeah.
I can like live in a house. I can do all this other stuff that I can normally do. And then that's what my parents envisioned me to be.
Yeah.
And I was all like, in this day and age and in living in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I'm all like,
apparently
no.
The worst city to live in America.
That is.
In the world, bro.
Like,
in the world.
Not going to. And they want, essentially, like, I told them, like, what if I moved out of, like, California? And they're all like, I don't know, somewhere different. Maybe a different country. And they're all, no. Like, we want you to live close by. And I'm like, why? Like, I don't know. They just, like, holding.
Just in case.
My mom had a hard time when my brother moved to SoCal.
It's probably just because, you know, like, if you do get a wife and you guys create babies.
You
want to
be a part of that.
Yeah. You know? Little tiny D. Goodies walking around, just little gerbils. You know?
Yeah.
Dave Gerbs.
Yeah. Dude, I bet when you have a little kid, man, you mean, like, that shit that's going to come out of that little baby.
Oh, my God, dude.
All it
nuclear
eat
bombs,
shit,
man.
And sleep. Eat shit and sleep.
I have a 7-year-old sister. She's turning 8. I talk about her a lot. Fuck that bitch. But like, anyways, like,
what other advice do you give her?
Oh, actually, okay. So on a serious note, every time I do hang out with her, I've been hanging out with her a lot lately. But when I do hang out with her, I tell her about the importance of not having money. So what I'm trying to say is, what I try to tell her is that what makes you happy. I tell her that all the time. What makes her happy?
Mm-hmm.
And she just goes, I like watching cooking videos. I'm like, do you like to bake? She's like, I like to bake. And I'm like, all right, we're going to bake today. And that's what we're going to do. And because it makes you happy. I want her to grow up already having this notion that money's not making you happy. It's the things that you do that make you happy. It's the things that you do with it.
Yeah.
Because like, I feel like
it's a better lesson.
My parents really don't. They don't really like help her in that with like, oh, you're going to be a doctor, you know? And then when she comes to me and I'm like, what makes you happy? She's like, I love to bake. Like a 7-year-old who already has that much passion about baking, who like nonstop watches about baking. She's going to do it like later on when she's older. And I already know this from the get.
Yeah.
And I'm aware of it. And I'm like already preparing her to purchase like these classes that they go into this bakery. And like they have like little toddler she's classes be and stuff.
Cake wars.
Yeah, dude. Hopefully. But like for me it's like I want her to be happy more than anything. I think that's what's more important.
I think that's really good.
So I guess for my dad, my mom, when they're talking about success and careers and stuff, at first it was about money, and then they're like, well, this guy's a lost cause. So now they're trying to do it with my sister. So
dang. That's how my parents are like sometimes. Whenever I try to do something in the house, like I try to like cook something, my mom or dad take over.
Oh man,
it's funny. Like I would start chopping up like
she
kinda carrots.
Just like tap you on the shoulder, like she's tapping you out.
Nah,
like,
dude, they go like, "What are you doing?" That's what that's how they start.
I'm all like chopping up carrots. Like you know, I'm not a very good cook, but I can chop carrots. So I'm all chopping carrots up, cut it in half, and then you dice them up, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then my mom went just like I could see her on the side. She's just looking over and going like. Like thinner, and I was all like, "Okay, fine, I'll cut."
Oh, you
again.
Know what? You're right. My mom does make when I do help her out with the pot or with any type of cooking,
she just takes over.
Yeah. She's like, "That's not how you shred the chicken." Okay, I'll show you.
Yeah, and then
showing does it. Ends up being just finishing it for me.
Exactly.
It was like that for me when I was like 13 or 14.
I ask her all the time. Yeah. Like, can you help me? Like I'm gonna cook something. He's like, just help. Just make sure I don't burn down the house.
Yeah.
And then like this is, many of the times. That I had cooked. And I was like, teach me so I know how to cook these recipes.
Yeah.
And then it's just her taking over. And my dad, same situation. He would show me, and then he would be taking over. And I'm all like, I'm not learning anything.
Yeah.
So, like, my dad used to do that. And then now, like, when my stepmom, when he remarried, my stepmom was like, you know, he can cook. You can leave him alone now. So, like, that was my little... vindication. Like, fuck you, dad. Yeah, I can burn a fucking pot without burning things inside it.
I can boil water. That's all I can do.
Knowing your purpose in life from what you
make some top ramen.
But you know, above all though, that parents in general, they're gonna like do what they do. They're gonna say what they're gonna say, and they're gonna feel that what they feel, what's right for us, because they've been through it.
So
whether or not their advice is outdated or.
Whether it's outdated, at the end of the day, it's going to impact you, and it should push you.
In some manner. You just got to filter it a little bit.
Yeah.
To end up doing what you're meant to do, and hopefully you can pay back your parents.
It comes from a good place.
You pay them back in different ways, man. Yeah. You could pay them back in, like, grandkids. You can pay them back by buying a house, a car. You can pay them back by just surviving, you know?
Yeah.
That's what my parents asked me. Like, as long as you're alive and you have... 95% of you together, you're good.
95%, huh?
Well, you know, because I'm like missing some parts here and there. But
5% Iron Man.
Yeah. Well, anyways, last words for our listeners. Thank you guys for listening.
If you kept up with us till season 3, thanks. Thanks for keeping up, guys.
That actually means a lot. Thanks.
We're over. That's really cool. We're over 50 episodes by now.
Yeah. That's a lot, dude.
Just
a lot of time.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time with you guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Everybody stutters one way or the other, so check out my message to you. As a matter of fact, I don't let nothing hold you back. If a scat man can do it, so can you. I hear you all ask about the meaning of scat, but I'm the professor, and all I can tell you is why you're still sleeping, the saints are still weeping, because things you call dead haven't yet had the chance to be born. I'm the scat man.
Yeah. We're doing character pages. Yeah. he just jumps off.
Flash drive somewhere. Fuck up, man. I'm tired of your shit.
But
near the ocean, you'll find me. Scat Man.